This place smells like balls.
We had it all. You were a movie star, remember?
Are you afraid people will say you're doing this play to battle the impression that you're a washed-up comic strip character?
Absolutely not. That's why 20 years ago I said no to Birdman 4.
Birdman 4! You do Birdman 4!
So here's a true story. After the premiere of Wild at the London Film Festival last October, I got into a conversation with this guy, and he asked me what I thought of the film, and I gave him this sort of like 5-minute lowdown of why I thought the film was probably the worst film I'd ever seen in 2014 and had no place at the London Film Festival. And then I said, well, what do you think of it? And he said, I'm in charge of distributing it in the whole of the UK. So I obviously looked really embarrassed. And then I said, well, I feel really bad for you. Like, have you got anything else in the festival? And he said, don't worry about me. I've got Birdman. And he said, look out for that film. And really, I should have taken him seriously, because it turned out that Birdman was the surprise film at the London Film Festival last year. Unfortunately, I'm missing it because I had conflicts with other movies, which always happens. There's so much great going on. But ever since then, I've been desperate to see this film. And finally, it comes out in the UK today. So what should I say about Birdman? That guy at the film festival was absolutely right. I mean, this is a tremendous film. He told me on the night that he thought that the best actor runners at the Oscars was going to be Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game, Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything, J.K. Simmons for Whiplash, and Steve Carell for Foxcatcher, and he rounded out that list with Michael Keaton for Birdman. And I think he's right. I mean, this is really one of those career-defining performances that Hollywood loves, where someone comes back, the big comeback movie. What's even more clever about this film, and it's a really clever film, is that the writer-director, Alejandro González Iñárritu, has created this movie that is so meta. It's working on so many levels. So you have Michael Keaton playing an actor who used to play a superhero. So Batman becomes Birdman, and Michael Keaton becomes Regan Thomas, who's the washed-up actor. He is a Hollywood star who's still very beloved, right? I mean, when he's out in the streets, people are still asking for his photo and whatnot. But he obviously feels a lack of credibility as an actor and wants to leave a legacy, but in this very superficial, insecure Hollywood actor way. So he has this hilarious scene where he's talking to his ex-wife about the motivation for sinking all of his money into a Broadway play that he has written. And he says, look, I realize that if I go down on a plane crash with George Clooney, it's going to be George Clooney who's on the front page of the newspapers, not me. So it's all bundled into this hilarious sort of satire on Hollywood insecurity. But anyway, he's putting on this play. The play stars his young lover, played by Andrea Riseborough, sort of hilariously nympho, and similarly insecure Hollywood actress, played by Naomi Watts. But really the star, the kind of the heft opposite Michael Keaton in this film, is Ed Norton. Like, whatever happened to Ed Norton? You know, the guy who came into Hollywood, movies like Fight Club, American History X, everyone was saying he was going to be the next big thing. And then he just disappears from view, right? Because he's supposedly difficult. And so in this world of Birdman, you have Ed Norton playing an actor, a method actor, who's famously difficult and shuns Hollywood. And in a sense, his performance is even closer to the bone than Michael Keaton's. I mean, the way in which he satirizes himself is utterly, desperately sad and funny. I mean, he's arrogant, he's a totally unlikable douchebag, and at the same time, there's something so vulnerable about him, particularly in the scenes where he's playing opposite Emma Stone, who plays the daughter to Michael Keaton's character, and she brings out of him this honesty, this truth and vulnerability, where he says, look, the only time I'm real is when I'm on stage. I can't be real in real life. And I really do wonder how close to the bone that is for Ed Norton. Anyway, this could have been, at one level, a perfectly successful satire on Hollywood. It's so funny. It's laugh out loud funny. But it's working at a much more tragic level than that, because it becomes apparent some point during the film that what we thought was kind of like a funny thing, which is Michael Keaton doing the Batman voice and sort of Birdman commenting disparagingly on the current state of his career, is actually maybe a delusional vision. And the way in which this is presented in the film is so clever, because it's shot by the director of photography as though in a single take. So Emmanuel Lubezki deserves, I mean, he should get the director of photography prize at the Oscars this year, because what he has done is so technically accomplished. But unlike, you know, your classic Christopher Nolan film, it's not just technical accomplishment for the sake of saying, look at how cool I am. It actually has a point, because what you're doing with that single take conceit is putting yourself in Michael Keaton / Regan Thompson's world. And you get this very elegant dance through this crumbling old theater on Broadway. It's almost like you're walking through the lead character's mind. And this sort of elegant whirling delusion, like how much is real, how much isn't real. You're just literally wrapped in his world. And it works incredibly well once you get used to it. And I guess my criticism, if I have one, of this film is that that conceit is so brilliantly done and so obvious. It becomes like a character in the film with a stronger personality as Birdman, Michael Keaton. And so it can almost become a distraction because that's what is the star of the show. Anyway, the movie works through its plot, which is effectively that the cast is previewing or going through previews for their opening night in Broadway. They're incredibly worried about the bad review they might get in the New York Times, which could sink the show. You've got all these kind of insecurities coming out in the cast. And you have this increasingly desperate Regan Thompson / Birdman wondering what it will take to get the attention of the world, the critic, and break through. To say anything more about the denouement of this film would really be to spoil it. It's a film that you should go into not knowing how it ends. What I would say is that, in conclusion, Birdman is one of the most ambitious, technically, in terms of content, movies that I've seen all year. It's a movie that's beyond anything Hollywood is putting out there. And you have to admire the bravery of the actors in just doing these roles that are so close to the bone. And like I said, I mean, it can sound in its description very intellectually interesting, and it is, but it's still, it's balls out funny. It's so funny, this movie. So I would urge you to see it, but beware for that darkness, that dark backing to the mirror that runs right the way through this film and comes to an accelerated pitch in its final act. So with that, Birdman is out in the UK and Ireland today. It's already been released in the US last November, but it will be out on DVD in February. You'll hear a lot about it, though, throughout awards season. And if you agree or disagree with my take, please feel free to comment on the blog.
You're Birdman. Yeah! You are a god.
Why don't you get your wings in your bird suit, man? Oh, no. I'm gonna choke you out!
Let's go back one more time and show them what we're capable of.
Birdman!
I got a chance to do something right. I gotta take it.
Birdman has a running time of 119 minutes and is rated R in the USA and 15 in the UK. The film played Venice, Telluride and London 2014 and opened last year in the USA, Canada and Mexico. The full release schedule is at Bina007.com. Thank you for listening.